I want you to put your hands together.
There goes to the neighborhood.
And welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause.
There goes to the neighborhood.
All right, welcome back to episode 25 of the Smokescreen Podcast. This should look familiar.
Yes, it does.
We're going old school. We have some kind of special lineup, yeah. I would say. You know, this was a Game of Thrones channel basically for 5 years. Going on 5 years, I guess it is. And that ended badly months ago. Getting close to a year ago. Close to a year ago, I said months. But we decided, you know, I was thinking about this. I told you a couple weeks ago, I was like, maybe I need to go back and rewrite it. You know, or fix it. Kind of fix it in the way I think it should have ended as a video series.
Right.
And so we're talking and we're doing this other thing because we got other podcasts we want to do. But then this came up tonight. You actually brought this up.
Yeah, I was like, hey, and I was watching some videos the other day and episode 4 of this podcast popped up, you know,
yeah.
And I watched it and it happened to be us talking about Game of Thrones.
Right. So we got to talking and we were like, I mean, I don't know, because I've been saying let the past die, like Kylo Ren or some shit. I don't know where. I guess I got that from Star Wars. But because, you know, you just get tired of it. You don't want to bitch about it all the time and just stay, you know, negative the whole time. But it just ended badly.
Well, in that episode 4, we were so optimistic. It was prior to the season even starting.
That was the key. You had listened to this again, and we were like, you were listening to like our past selves. And
talking
we listened
about
a little bit more of it tonight, and it was like, you know, we're talking about how this was for me. It was my identity for a long time. Then it kind of became yours when you kind of joined
right.
up with Q&As and we did all the live streams and that podcast. It was like, because I remember when we did the live streams after show, it was like the Super Bowl every Sunday. You had those nerves like your team was in the Super Bowl,
right?
And you were either going to win a ring or lose it every single Sunday. And the top of all that, you're taking notes, you're setting all this shit up. It was just it was nerve wracking, honestly.
It was. And we were, you know, we had followed these people for so long, and then we just listening to that, we were so optimistic about how it was gonna end.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we had done so many like prediction videos, and we did that series on your channel, Dragon Raised by Wolves.
Right, which was still I think I'm still the most proud of that series as far as predictions go, because I still think it's really going to be a big thing in the books, no doubt about it in my mind, if we ever get the end. It's at least going to be a very important location.
Right,
as far as what we talked about, the God's Eye and stuff like that. So, you know, it just I kind of jumped on board when you started talking about this, listen to our past sales being all optimistic and what changed and how it changed pop culture, and it changed this channel personally for me and all this kind of stuff. So we said, you know what? Let's do it. Let's fix
it. Yeah.
Let's revisit it and use their generic framework of 6 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go back and not change everything, but change the things that need to be changed and rework it and revisit it and say, you know what? Let's fix the damn thing.
And
all we can do, you know, it's technically fan fiction as far as the show goes. Again, we'll see how the books, if they ever come out, how they end and what happens, you know, in the middle of that ending or whatever, as far as locations and theories and blah, blah, blah. So I don't want people to think this is, like you said, sour grapes.
Right.
Oh, because my thing didn't come true.
Yeah, because what we said and put so much time in, it didn't come true.
Because
so now we're pissed.
So much did. You know, me and you did that series. Me and Val did so many predictions over the years, and a lot of that came true. A lot of the stuff still did as far as, you know, things, how they would happen or whatever. So it's not about that at all. It's just about when you come to the conclusion, and after seeing all the evidence and seeing the interviews and all that kind of stuff, that they just... And they admitted themselves, they just didn't care.
Yeah.
And it's at least owed to us, I would think, for them to come out and explain themselves publicly. They had that little thing that got leaked or whatever in Texas where they basically admitted they didn't care about the fantasy aspect of things. I mean, just all this other stuff. And it was like, really? Because me and you were on here saying, certainly they care about it. I mean, they're not going to go out like, you know, and do something stupid because it's their legacy. And they're not going to leave things unanswered because there's another show coming that may answer that question about the Night King, for example.
Yeah.
So we were just sitting there thinking, because it's just common damn sense, you know, to me. After the first, I would argue, you know, four to five seasons were definitely, I mean, so they were literally some of the best adaptations ever. I mean, from books to TV. I mean, I don't think many people argue with that.
Right. I can't see them.
It was so accurate. And, I mean, obviously, for a reason, it drew in so many, you know, millions of people around the world. But it just didn't work.
And, you know, what it drives home is the leaked scripts and stuff.
Yes.
You know, obviously, we didn't read them, guys.
No. I mean, I didn't do.
We were so off, you know, and that's. That's another thing. I think I do believe those scripts being leaked put a damper on the last season. You had so many people who were, I don't know, they anxious to read them, and then they would read them, and I wonder what it was like watching the show after having read those.
Yeah,
you had to be going, "Oh my God, those were real." You know?
Yeah. I don't know whether I guess. I don't know if there were any real this year or not. Were there? I don't know. That's what somebody told me. Now, season 7 for damn sure.
Season 8 followed all the shit.
Yeah, I don't know. Because
everybody's saying Bran's going to be the king. We were like, no.
And yeah, that's insane.
That was evidently in those scripts.
Maybe because once season 8 aired, I never watched it again until tonight.
And yeah, we watched episode 1 tonight.
We watched episode 1. So... I mean, we'll get into that, and the idea is here we'll start tonight because episode 1 is fairly normal. We have some minor changes. Well, I should say some major changes for later that will affect, because, you know, once you start changing things, then it's going to, like you said, snowball. But, I mean, we wanted to do it because, you know, it really, I think, broke a lot of people's spirits. And like you said, you made a good point. We had this community, you know, on YouTube of a lot of great YouTubers that did, you know, Game of Thrones, Ice and Fire, and the community around that, and our live stream community. And when it happened like that, it really just broke our spirits. Now it's like everybody, like you said, went off into their own little worlds and never came back.
Right.
So
everybody went back home, kind of like when Forrest stopped running.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Everybody just went back home.
Yes, I think I'll go home now. And then they're like, well, what do we do?
Right.
And that's the way I felt a lot. You know, I've talked to you in private many, many times about, like, the channel itself as far as YouTube and all that. But beyond that, the community's kind of just, you know, they're still there to, you know, the core, I guess, as far as the community. But most people just, I guess, went on with their lives, and they still talk about their heartbroken when they do comment in other videos and stuff like that. And people have asked me a million times to, you know, why don't you rewrite? And I was like, no, I don't do fan fiction. And I don't. Mm-hmm. I really don't. But this is more of a, we'll watch it. We'll change some minor things. I'm not going to, like, literally sit down and type like I'm doing a book.
Yeah.
Fan fiction style. But let's jump in and try to fix it and see if we can make it make more sense. Because if you go by, like we were saying, talking about how to do this, if you go by, you know, we got 6 episodes and the general framework that they actually use, people can visualize that better. Because these are unedited podcasts. There's no screenshots, you know, all that kind of thing.
And what I told you was we have to somehow, you know, do this like they did. Like, we can't assume that to rewrite the show, we would have an unlimited budget and unlimited time.
Right, exactly.
And put every detail in there. So let's try to use the skeleton that they did with the 6 episodes and just go through each episode and go, this right here, I didn't really like that. This should have been this because, you know, that had been set up in the past. And I just wanted to say that hopefully, like you talked about, everybody went home. Hopefully that this, when they see this, this will be like a bat signal calling everybody back.
there you go.
Hey, come back and you know.
Yeah, let's rekindle at least kind of, if for nothing else, let's get a little bit of closure.
Yeah.
Because we did the last stream, you know, after episode 6. The next week they had that kind of wrap-up thing for 2 hours. We streamed like that. But by then, people were broken.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were so mad, and people still are. They just didn't care about it. We didn't either, honestly. We talked about how, you know, every live stream... We were actually nervous about it, which is really odd for it's a TV show.
Yeah,
but it was like you said, you know, you get that heavy feeling in your chest or whatever because it's like your team's about to go to the Super Bowl, and that's a good thing, but they can lose.
Yeah, they can.
And that's the way it was every single Sunday. So we've never sat down and watched Season 8 without pressure.
No.
In that sense.
No. Where we have to be on and just take notes because we're going to quickly, you know, be on camera talking about it and discussing
right.
it. And all of our best talks and everything usually happened in the days that followed when you had time to absorb it.
Exactly.
And, you know.
Exactly.
So now we've had, what, 10 months?
Yeah.
Almost
yeah,
a year.
It's almost a year. And people are still talking, you know,
to
like
walk around in the days.
They're still mad.
Like I told you, this was like almost like the 9/11 of TV.
Yeah. right.
It happens.
Exactly.
And,
it really was.
You know, you walk, you drive through New York and you don't realize how bad you missed the Twin Towers till they're not there anymore.
Yeah. It's like know? When we turned on, you know, episode one earlier, it was like, you know, in episode one, we'll get to that, but it's not totally bad in itself. But, you know, just seeing the characters again, you brought back those, damn, I missed this type of feelings.
Yeah.
And it's really crazy. So the idea is, I think, is we're going to start now with season one or season eight, episode one. And we'll go through kind of scene by scene and say, yeah, that's okay. I would change maybe this or whatever. And just kind of follow their rough outline, or their, I should say, just not even an outline, because it's going to change a lot when we start getting to 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Right.
Right. I mean, so let's go by their, like you said, you know, their budget, so to speak, and their episode count and all that stuff. But let's change Game of Thrones. Let's fix it. Let's make a new season eight. Then at least we can say, yeah, that would have been good. It's not going to change officially.
We'll see how this goes. I mean, this is our plan.
Yeah,
this
is our plan. This may end up, yeah. So
this could be a clusterfuck.
It could be. It could be. So, as of right now, the idea is that we'll have 6 episodes of this.
Yep.
And we'll see what happens. So if we're going to, are we good to go on that? Was there anything else you wanted to mention before?
I think that's good.
Because I had one stipulation. You know, as far as actually changing things before we actually go into the episode itself.
Right.
And that was that, and this will come into play a little bit later, but, and it's just better writing, I think. I mean, not, you know, I'm not a writer, but you know what I mean, in the sense of continuity.
You're talking about how episode 7 ended? I mean, season 7 ended?
So the only stipulation I had, since we're not doing season 7, but I'm going to change one thing in season 7 before we get to season 8, and that is that Bran went through the wall, which enabled the Night King to use the trick that they set up before at the cave and break the wall by leaning down, maybe with all the White Walkers or whatever, their combined strength or something, and break the wall because he went through it. And he will actually say, we'll talk about this and we get to a scene here in a few minutes. We'll actually talk about it. But so in my version, in my personal own little world, there was no dragon. The Night King does not have a dragon.
Right.
And did not, and you know, Icy Viserion did not break the wall.
You're saying, okay, so let's just say, you're saying because it's not necessary.
It's not necessary at all.
It
actually takes away from him.
So.
And also gives him more power than he needs.
Then do you say Viserion is just dead? Or are you saying the whole trip up north didn't happen?
No, I think I think, you know, for the sake of not going back and changing everything and retconning, I guess, in that sense,
right?
Because we are kind of retconning the whole season. It already happened. But just for the sake of not going so far back and getting into murky details that could change and butterfly effects, let's just say they went up there to prove what they did.
Just like they did.
And there was just no dragon that died.
Okay, so she has 3. He doesn't have any.
She has 3 dragons. Because this will tie in later.
All right.
So, yeah. So, the Night King, you know, the same kind of thing happens. And we'll get to that scene in a second where Bran talks to Dany and all that stuff. But so, just a thing. In the end of season 7, in this world, in this version, the Night King did come through the wall or whatever. We didn't, you know, but he broke it with his magic as opposed to some magic fucking dragon with chains at the bottom of a lake and shit like that.
And the reason I like that is because of what you said about they set it up.
They set it up
at Blood Raven's
Cave. When that happened back in, what, 6, right? That was 6. When that happened, I mean, I know I immediately said it. Val and I said it on predictions. Oh, shit, that's how he's breaking the wall. That's literally what we said at the time. Because it was so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. They showed you what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, especially the fact that he grabbed his arm and left the mark and everything.
Exactly. So the mark counts for something bigger than the cave.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
So with that said, let's fix, let's try to fix Game of Thrones Season 8, Episode 1, aptly titled Winterfell.
All right. So one cool thing about that is with the no dragon. I love that idea because it buys everybody time, more time.
Yes.
Because as we talked about, we saw it in King's Landing. I know I'm jumping, going fast forward, but he could have taken that dragon and decimated everything you wanted to decimate.
Period.
You
know. That takes away the issue in people's minds about the travel things because you know good and damn well we saw Dany fly up there in an earlier season beyond the wall from Dragonstone that fast to save them.
Yeah.
We're assuming it took about a day, whatever, but he could literally make it from the wall to Winterfell in a couple hours.
Yeah.
And just, we saw what the power of a dragon can do to the walls.
Yeah.
All that shit wouldn't have mattered.
Right.
And the show would have been over.
Yeah.
Nobody survives. Yeah. Which actually would have been a better ending. I mean, right. It's sad to say.
Right. He gets the dragon, game over.
Period. Yeah. So he doesn't have a dragon. It takes away that. So at least they're marching. At least they're on foot. Whether they're running or whatever, that's right. A whole different thing.
Gotcha.
Still a lot of miles.
Okay, cool. Now, they broke through the wall the old-fashioned way.
Yes.
All right.
I guess that's old fashioned.
And now
the old fashioned.
And so now, Danny and them are on the boat, and they're heading to Winterfell at the end. And now here we go, Season 8, Episode 1. Boom.
All right. So Game of Thrones Season 8, Episode 1. We'll still call it Winterfell. That's fine. They're heading to Winterfell. What I said here was, in general, this episode is going to be fairly close to what it was because it kind of did what it needed to do, but there's going to be some conversations that change and some people
right
as well. So they go to Wintertown. I think the intro's fine. I know you'll have an issue with that, and that's fine, but I think what is good about it is that it rhymes with Season 1, Episode 1, Winter is Coming.
It rhymes really well.
Yeah, so you have the Robert music playing, kind of the Robert King music or whatever, Baratheon theme, along with the mix of the Targaryen, and that's a really good soundtrack there, and I get the idea of this big imposing army coming through. I mean, you know, I'd said before, it'd probably be better if Jon went up there alone with because they know they're coming. We already know they sent ravens and things like that, so it's not a surprise. But, you know, let him go talk to them first and, you know, make some things clear and misunderstandings or whatever to try to prevent the drama a little bit.
Because
there's going to be drama, which should happen in a sense. But so I don't have a big problem with the opening scene.
Kind of assuming, basically, they're under the mindset of, okay, that John going up alone in advance would be nice, but we don't have time for that.
Yes, right.
Okay, basically. I'm cool with that. Yeah,
because there is there should be a sense of urgency,
yeah.
but not because you're done writing and ready to go to Star Wars at the time, is what I'm saying. So I have no problem with the opening scene. The only difference is, as far as that goes, is the three dragons.
Right.
That's really it for me as far as the opening, scene.
And the reason Chris said that about me is I just thought that if you know when you go up there that they're going to be uncomfortable calling her queen and all this, coming up there full force with this gigantic army, it seems like it's not the way. Maybe they took a smaller party and went up there, did their, have their reunions and introductions at the same time. I think that would have worked out better, but again, we'll just play with the fact that just there's a sense of urgency. Look, we're trying to save the world, not feelings.
Right. Makes sense. So yeah, there's no big problems with that. So
no.
The difference here is as far as when they go in, you still have the Dany tension with Sansa, which is going to happen regardless if they had went up there alone. There's going to be some of that mistrust. You've heard Roy say Targaryens can't be trusted, which will come back later as well. Obviously, it should have it. Really kind of didn't.
Right.
The difference is they have their little thing. They're kind of, Sansa's kind of snarky, Sansa to Dany. She's kind of taken aback. That's fine. That all stays the same. The difference is if Bran interrupts them and doesn't say, The Night King has your dragon. I know you ain't got time to grieve for him because they never showed anything about it. They never showed her, like, they mentioned it a couple times, but it wasn't like she was like, oh shit, and had a big moment to go drop to her knees and start crying. You know, she had just lost it. It was dead, but now it's an evil dragon.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And apparently that's what the Night King, all it was to them was just the, you know, death walking.
Right.
So, in that case, he interrupts him and basically says, the wall has fallen. And they say, holy shit, how? How has it fallen? It's held up for, you know, 8,000 years because I went through it.
Right.
And he goes, oops, oopsie. So it shows you that he's still an idiot. I mean, it still makes mistakes, even though he's learned all this stuff.
Yeah.
And that way he's still a little more relatable, and it's not so much robot Bran. I know they kind of got rid of that in some areas as far as like last year's Bran, or season 7, I'm saying last year. But that way it shows you the power of the Night King. In one sense, the mark still matters. It's not just forgotten about, and he literally pulls up and says, this is why.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't, and we don't need an explanation. We don't need like a full explanation. We just,
right,
because the audience knows.
As the audience, we do not.
So they can have that on the side or whatever. Yeah. It don't need to be shown. But and so basically, it's just a different version of the same interruption. We ain't got time for this shit. Ain't nobody got time for that,
right?
You know. And but there's no dragon that took it down.
Now, I'd just like to add here, me personally, and I told you that I feel like, with all they had us witness with Sansa going through with Ramsay and everything.
Yes.
I feel like she would be nicer and more humble and
More humble.
Not as cocky and arrogant and just bitchy. I just feel like,
yes,
you know.
I agree.
I understand her being stronger and,
yes,
you know.
Stronger doesn't mean all attitude all the time.
No. And I didn't like that Sansa. So if I had some way to rewrite it, I would rewrite her differently and not as abrasive, especially then.
And that opening
scene. She can be scheming and stuff,
she wants to do. If she learned from Littlefinger, that makes a lot of sense. If she learned from Littlefinger, she wouldn't have shown it.
Yeah. You don't show your cards.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But she showed her cards. So did she learn something from him or not? So there were always mixed signals about that whole Littlefinger thing.
Right.
Because she was, one minute she was going to be the next Littlefinger, and next in the next scene or season, for that matter, she didn't change at all or didn't learn anything.
Yes.
So there was a lot of obviously controversy over that when it was happening throughout, you know, 6, 7, and 8. Anyway, so that makes sense. She showed her cards by being all cocky.
Yeah.
So yeah, that makes sense. So I think next was the meeting in the main hall.
Yep.
I think that's fine. You know, there's tension there. You know that's going to happen. They you know, have Tyrion getting up saying, trying to kind of calm things down. Look, I know we fought before, but we got to fight together or die. So that's the theme. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. It's fine. They overused Lyanna Mormont.
They did.
They started to overuse her as far as her being little Miss Snarky and standing up, I don't know what you are now. And it's like, do you trust him or don't you? Because you say you trust him.
And do you respect him or do you not?
Exactly, because it's like, you know, like John almost should have said, you know, kind of mixed signals here, just saying.
Yeah.
You give me the crown, you say you trust me, but everything I do, you're standing up, you know, with some fucking comment.
Right.
You know? And he even calls Sansa out for it herself, but Lyanna Mormont, it was cute at first.
Agreed.
I love the character.
It's overplayed.
But they overplayed it with her standing up like, you know, whatever. And then Royce back there, like, he's even a part of the North. He's not even part of the North. He's just from the Vale, which I appreciate him, you know, being there and helping.
Right.
But he's the one of Targaryens can't be trusted, and that will come back to play later. So, again, not a whole lot's going to change as far as the structure of Episode 1.
No.
But that will definitely change from 3 on,
and
all of it.
I have to bring up, because you said a good point, too, about Sansa brings up the point about there's not enough food, you know.
Yes.
But you said, hey, you know, she's experienced in this now.
Right. The point I was making was, all right, they showed her clearly being a really good leader in the previous season, you know, going around checking armor and plates, and she notices things that she wouldn't have noticed before. Roy says, oh, yeah, you're right, my lady. So she's clearly, and Littlefinger gave her props for being a good leader. So Sansa is a good leader. So the point I was making with that was, if they've sent ravens and they know they're coming, you don't have to stand up in the meeting after they get there and say, well, what are we going to feed all these people? Yeah. And the dragons, by the way. So, come on. I mean,
exactly.
Just be consistent with the character.
That was not necessary.
It's
a concern, granted. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely a concern. But she should have said that when John sent the raven.
Thank you. Yeah.
And the first time was, shit, we got to get ready. They're coming. We might not like it.
Right.
But she's going to help us fight. And I trust John because I say I trust him.
Yes.
So we're going to have to get ready. So we need more grain from all these places. Let's get it going. Let's go. Move now, people. Would have been
a good
leader.
Their way.
That would have been a good leader, not the one who says, oh, by the way, how are we going to feed you?
Yeah.
After you show up. So that was like an inconsistent thing they did with Sansa.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. So that was the main problem with, I mean, no, you know, again, everything else is pretty much the same, I think, in the meeting, right?
Right.
So they just kind of get to know each other, and Danny's kind of off to the side, and there's tension and drama, and she has to come back with whatever they want to eat with Sansa. But she would have never had to ask that question had she prepared and been a leader.
And we know that's a good scene. You know, that was good for TV
for her
to cut her eyes back at Sansa and say that.
And that's what they did it for.
That's all.
You know, think about what you did last season or even last episode.
Yeah, because we remember.
Exactly. So then we have, I think, Tyrion and Sansa. That's fine. I don't really have a problem with that. They could have said probably a little more, but I understand.
I agree.
They
would want to.
Yeah, and see and that's the thing. You can restructure things very small and take out half of that bullshit scene with Sansa trying to pretend like she didn't know they were coming, and devoted more to Tyrion and Sansa catching up. Mm. The next scene, literally 60 more seconds.
That's right.
That's all it takes.
All it takes.
So when you take out just a couple little lines here and there that starts a conversation with all these people that don't really matter, it doesn't move plot. Then you can devote some of that time. Oh, we got the Riddick dog moving microphones. Then you can devote some of that time if you're limited for some reason, which they shouldn't have been, but the first ones are pretty short, almost an hour. They could have devoted more time to that conversation because they had a lot to talk about, and they kind of just skimmed the surface.
They really did,
but it was fine overall. I mean, there's no major it's not some deal breaker where fuck this show.
And then
at that point,
and that you know scene, what I mean? That scene's the first one to end with Peep and Bran.
Oh my God, Peep and Bran. Yes, you said that earlier. Bran, we're going to get more into Bran for damn sure, but this whole season was a waste.
Yeah.
It was just a waste for Bran.
Terrible.
It was just like, that's what he was. He just sat around. He didn't do anything. He served no purpose. But again, when we get to this stuff, he will serve a purpose.
Right.
In our version, that's not non-existent.
Right.
So, John and Arya. You thought that was okay, but you had an issue, I think.
I just said, I think that reunion, because, we've been dying for it.
Yes, absolutely. That was a big, big moment to look forward to.
So it happens, and it starts off really good, but I thought it just got weird. And I'm thinking, it was a lot of just really not so much what was said. It was the expressions on the face when they looked uncomfortable.
There was definitely that. And I get that there are different people. They've been through a lot, and it takes a little more time. But what I said to, I think, would really add to it, I think makes a lot of sense, is, they're going to have that, little bit of uncomfortable thing. What you've been doing, I had to kill a few people.
Mm-hmm.
John don't get the full story. She don't know. They did mention the knife in the heart. How'd you survive it? I didn't. I thought that was great.
So she basically says, I've killed a couple people.
Yeah, had to use it once or twice. I've died.
Come back to life.
Basically. Been through a lot. I think the emotion was there a little bit, but then it was kind of standoffish and then kind of back.
And then he brought up Sansa, and then Arya just checked out.
Exactly. And that was what I was said before. And, and there's always that debate about, Sansa haters. Nobody hates Sansa. I mean, some people may. I don't know. But the deal is that Jon literally calls her out himself. The character on the show does, just like Arya did the season before.
Yeah.
So when people say, you stop hating on Sansa, it's like, wait a minute. It's not hating. I'm literally saying what the characters are saying.
Yeah.
That's what was written into the show.
Mm-hmm.
So the deal with that is, my thing is, don't just say she's just trying to protect the family. I understand she is. That is true. But I'm going to talk to her myself and find out why she don't like your queen.
Yeah.
So this will set up a conversation with Arya and Dany.
Right.
Because it's important. It'll tie back in to season four with Tywin Lannister when she references Aegon and she references Visenya and the dragon. She knows this history. She's learned it from Maester Luwin growing up. Everybody knows Targaryen history. If you're a lord or a lady, you're taught that by your maester.
Yeah.
And this would have given a good chance for her to find out, because she wouldn't just blindly trust anybody. After calling Sansa out like that last year.
Yeah.
And yeah, they had a makeup session.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's like trust but verify. You know what I mean? That was a big theme about trust.
That's right.
Everybody says they trust, but they really don't, obviously.
Yeah. And obviously, you see people getting stabbed in the back, you know, figuratively, literally. I get it. But this core group, you expect them to have more trust.
Yes.
Like real, genuine trust.
Yeah, it goes back to the same thing. Okay, John's a great, you're a great king, John. Why, you know, in private, you're a great king. I trust you. I love you. But in public, not really.
Yeah.
So I think overall it was fine. You know, it was emotional. You were excited to see it, you know, and all that stuff. The music certainly helps with all that. And the music, you can never complain about the music in the show. You can't. Outstanding. But yeah, I would have had just a little thing there, which sets up more later, where you're going to see where she says, you know, Sansa doesn't, you know, she doesn't like your queen, your dragon queen, does she? And then she says, but I'm going to find out why. Or something to that effect. Some line where she's like insinuating, I'm going to talk to her. Hurt myself.
Right.
I thought that would have been cool.
And instead, what it felt like to me was, I don't either.
Exactly. I kind of, like now I just completely trust her 100%.
Yeah.
After we just went through all this shit where I damn near killed her.
Exactly.
You know, I could have just take your face and she was scared shitless.
You damn right.
I mean, so she went from scary Arya, which again, you could argue that was overdone too. I could see that. Because it is Sansa, it is her sister, but, you know, at the same time, pick one. You know, I know people change.
I know.
But you're talking about just, you know, what, a couple weeks or months or whatever, we're not even sure, from season 7 to 8, when they made up at the end of season 7. So that's what I had. So this was set up so she would have basically mentioned Dany in some way. I'll find out myself, and that would set up something we'll talk about later. I think King's Landing, you mentioned.
This is where Qyburn and Cersei are standing out there. She's watching the Golden Company arrive with Euron's fleet. And Qyburn tells her, he gives her the news that the dead, they've broken through the wall. And she says, good. And that bothered me.
Right.
But only because, I'll just say, the reason it bothered me was because it leaves you thinking, she's got some master plan where she's not afraid of the dead.
Right, yeah. She's just betting on the Golden Company because it's 20,000 people when you just heard it was 1 million.
Dude.
Undead people.
Right. So I don't understand that.
I guess that was just because her idea was they're all going to die and then I'm automatically queen. I don't have to worry about the Dragon Queen anymore or Jon Snow or anybody else.
Right.
And we'll deal with, you know, whatever's left of the dead. She had no idea. She could never picture 1 million.
No.
Zombies and dragons. And of course, she didn't know about the dragon. They never found out about the dragon.
Right. Well, that's true. But it just seems like, does she think they're just going to come down here and kill her enemies and then turn back around?
Exactly. Which is she going to make a deal with him, try to make a deal like Craster?
Right.
We did mention some of those things, but you're wondering, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing, I guess she just believed in those elephants. That's why she wanted the elephants so bad, because she was really harping on the elephants.
She really was, and I'm thinking you're right.
So I guess that was, but it shows you that is kind of Cersei in the books too. She thinks she's as smart as Tywin, but she's not. So she makes these half-assed plans and never really works out for her so much. And I think she thought that, you know, like I mentioned to you before we started, the Robert thing. She killed Robert somehow with wine. Now, what if that didn't work? Which likely it shouldn't have, honestly.
Yeah, because like you said, as far as with Robert, I mean, that obviously wasn't planned out well in advance, you know, thinking with a lot of forethought.
Yeah,
because
it's just a possibility, maybe.
Right.
You know.
Especially if it needed to happen. If you needed it to happen then, that's a lot of, you know, stock to put in the fact that he's going to get that drunk.
Exactly. And then and the way they tried to cover, and not to go back and rehash early seasons, I mean, that's season one, but, you know, Barristan Selmy basically said, Well, he told me to stand down, which brought up, and you know, I got the idea that it was bringing up the idea that Jamie kind of brought up, what do you listen to? You swore to protect the king, so you're trying to protect him, but when he says stand off, are you protecting the king? Well, no, you're following his orders. So right. You're breaking one vow for another. So I get that.
Right. But
the plan was sloppy.
It was very sloppy.
Very sloppy. And what if he comes home? Then the whole story is different, you know. So anyway, that's just a Cersei thing. I think the next thing was in that King's Landing scene, we saw Yara.
Yes.
And my whole thing was, there's just no point in keeping her alive at that point. You agreed, I believe.
I 100%. Did. Felt like he should have killed her.
Yeah. Not that I want Yara to die.
Same here.
But I think it's just dumb that he... It was basically... Unless he specifically stated, I'm keeping you here because I know that your little brother's going to come rescue you and I'm going to kill him too. Now, if you're doing that, fine. Whatever.
Didn't it felt a lot like old James Bond villains or in Batman.
Right.
I'm going to tie you by the ankles and lower you into this acid instead of just putting a bullet in your
exactly.
head.
Exactly. Just to be cute.
Yeah.
And that's basically
give
what he was doing.
Time to escape.
And all he said was, well, why would I kill you? I wouldn't have nobody to talk to. I have a crew of mutes.
Right.
Well, why do you cut your dude's tongues out? The point is there's really no point. So with that said, I'm not going to kill Yara for
right.
this story.
Right.
I'm going to use her later. So we'll just say that happened.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to have her come back later and do something. So I did have a – I just had a problem with this, you know, in general. It's like – it's almost like the I'll be back line.
Yeah.
In Game of Thrones.
And I don't want her dead either, so.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not – it's just didn't make any sense.
It did not.
Make any
we
sense.
We both thought so.
The Bronn scene, I think the Bronn scene was fine. You want people to believe that he's going to consider that, you know, going up and killing Jaime.
Yes.
And Tyrion.
You want the audience to think.
Yeah, yeah. Is he, because they built up so much about Bronn changing mm-hmm. and he became a lot bigger than he was supposed to be as far as the books go too. And, you know, the specific scene last season was he left the gold behind in order to save, you know, Jaime.
Yeah.
He started doing that thing physically that he cared about was gold and wealth and whatever, using the Lannister for the money. And then all of a sudden, you know, we'll talk about this more obviously in episode two, but he would consider it, but as the audience would question it.
Yeah.
So I think the scene itself was fine. The payoff later was not, is what
my
I'm saying.
My thought is, yeah, he's getting offered this. This gives him the clean out.
Yes.
To go hang out with his buddies.
It gets him the out. It gives him some gold and yep. gets him away from Cersei.
He gets to go up there and go, guys, you ain't going to believe.
Exactly.
Your sister sent me up here to kill y'all. You know, pass me an ale.
Exactly. You know? So that will be an episode two thing, obviously, but you just want to say that. So the scene was fine because
yeah.
you do want people wondering, has he changed?
Right.
A little bit more, but they've already been leading you down the path that he is.
Yep.
So that was the issue. So that'll be more of an episode two issue. But just really quick on the Yara thing. It was basically like they were just getting rid of characters. That's all they were doing.
That's all.
They just wrote her off basically to show back up and see in episode six.
Mm-hmm.
So she says she's going back to the Iron Islands with Theon after she, you know, he rescues her, which was really, really easy. You know, I mean, this is silence. Yes, he may have knew what ship or whatever docked up, but it was super easy, and they got off scot-free with three ships somewhere. And she says, I'm just going back to the Iron Islands. Okay, well, she had made a deal with Dany to be queen of the Iron Islands herself. She's going to fight for her and with her, and made this whole plan before she got captured. Now she gets, you know, released, and she just abandons her.
Yeah.
But her excuse was, well, she'll need a place to go. Well, that's always an option.
Right.
Whether you don't need to go be not. There. Her yeah. thing was, well, I'm going to go take out Euron's men. There's only a couple there. But was there only a couple there? So they can do that anytime.
At any time.
So they just basically got rid of Yara. So... you know, again, in this case, I'll just say that in my version, she'll be back, but she does send Theon. My version, she goes over there, but not to just hang out and disappear. She goes because she's going to come back, and while she's there, she's going to rebuild.
Yeah.
Build a new fleet like they did with magic trees the last time with Euron, because there's no trees.
No trees.
So she's going to go, because she's got three boats. Theon's going to take one to White Harbor and go to Winterfell.
Exactly.
She's going to take her two boats. She's going to kill five Euron people, and then she's going to take the Iron Islands, but she's not just going to hang out. She's going to rebuild a fleet for a reason that we'll talk about later.
Yes.
Is basically what I'm saying for Yara.
Now, what about Euron and Cersei and their sex scene and all that?
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. So they, you have to acknowledge the idea of the pregnancy, right? Mm-hmm. Because she was, they cut out the season 7 scene where she had a miscarriage. So she was not pregnant, but we're not really sure still, since they cut that out, if they meant for her to really be pregnant or was she lying for, to Jamie.
Right.
So it's a good idea for her to go ahead and, because she's thought about it in that moment when she said, when he says, I'm going to put a prince in your belly. Aha.
This is the way to play.
This is the way to play both of them.
Yeah.
This is the way to play him and control him. So yeah, he's no danger to me. Mm-hmm. And this is the way to keep Jamie somewhere out there on, you know, he'll come back.
Exactly.
So that was fine as far as that. It was just really, you were certainly questioning, is she really pregnant? I mean, there were videos done on it. Is she pregnant or not?
She's a pro at this.
She
at letting one man think she's got his baby in her belly.
Absolutely.
You know?
So that was fine as far as her scheming, because she's not dumb, you know, by any means. So that was fine. But they were unclear. I guess what I'm saying is they were unclear the entire season.
Agree.
Because she did come out later. We'll talk about that when we get to it. But she does tell Euron it's his and all that kind of stuff. But remember, they cut out a scene where she had a miscarriage. That did happen. So they just forget about that, and they forgot about Danny stuff, and we'll talk about that too as well. I think next, I think we're at John and Danny talk about Sansa when they're out in the field, and Tyrion and Davos and Varys are watching them.
Exactly.
So they're out there talking, and this is what I was saying about the previous scene with Arya. So they're talking. The thing was, the Dothraki comes up, you know, only 11 sheep and 8 goats or whatever it was. Maybe it was 11, 8, I don't
18
know.
18
something. Yes, 18 goats, 11 sheep.
Crazy.
Okay. Dragons are not eating that much. Sounds like a lot to me for two. But anyway, the point being that this is when Arya shows up and says, why aren't your dragons eating? Or she says something to the effect of, did you say your dragons wasn't eating or whatever? You know, she overhears or something as she walks up. It's not like she's sneaking up. I'm not saying ninja style. Maybe she does, whatever. And then she turns around and says, yeah, and it starts a dialogue with Danny and Arya, and she says, I believe I know why. And she gives her a little history lesson on her own house.
Right.
And she probably knows this stuff, but she could say something to the effect of, and it would be a good reference.
Bonding. Everything.
Yeah, it's a bonding thing. That's what it's about. It's not about the reference, but a reference would have been cool, too, for fans of the books.
Yeah.
Because she can reference Queen Alysanne and her dragon, Silverring, flying to the wall and would not fly beyond the wall, and now they know why.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know why back then. She never answered the question, you know, back in the days of Jaehaerys. And so that would have been a really good book reference. And, again, it ties back to season 4 with Tywin, where she clearly shows she knows Targaryen history and has all this knowledge and really looked up to Visenya and Rhaenys and things like that.
That's right.
So she should at least admire Dany, just like she showed in the very first scene when she smiles, seeing the dragons.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh shit, she's going to admire her. She's going to talk to her.
Yeah,
never did.
That's
never
so
happened.
Crazy to think.
Yeah, so they didn't follow up on anything they had said that was so beautiful back in season 4 and 5.
Yeah, agree. I totally agree.
So that's when,
and that would have been perfect time too.
Perfect time to, and not, I'm not saying the full conversation out in the field,
right,
but it starts the relationship.
Yep,
is what I'm saying. And then you have Sansa over here, you know, Dany over here, and Arya is kind of somewhere in the middle trying to figure out the truth and how they can all make this work.
Yep.
So that gives her a bigger purpose.
I agree.
There. So, and it'd be a cool book shout out. I think we had.
And so then they hop on.
Yes, the dragon riding thing. Never happens.
Right.
Just doesn't happen yet. This happens later in episode 2.
Yeah, this felt really weird if you think about the way they did it. Dragon's already eating good. So we're going to go over here and just hop on them. And,
go find some food?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Yes. The point was that.
They can hunt without you. I just don't. Where were they going?
They were going to the cave to bring back memories of Ygritte, maybe?
Right.
I don't know. So it was gorgeous shots.
It was,
and it was funny, and it was a little bit too much funny, honestly.
I really expected John to go, summer loving happened so fast.
Exactly.
Summer loving. Had me a blast. All that shit. I know, man. It felt cheesy like that.
It did feel cheesy. But, I mean, the gorgeous shots, it was beautiful, but it was stupid.
It felt like they were trying to set up the scene where he looks over her shoulder.
Yeah.
And
yes,
you know, Drogon gives him the look or whatever.
Yeah, just for like a comedy thing or something.
Again, again, like.
But the whole thing is fine if they want to have a little free, if they because it goes against the whole Rush thing we're talking about,
don't it?
Because I mean, I guess they can't do, you know, everybody's out there working and stuff and they're doing shit and they really can't do everything. But I mean, why not be out there in the trenches? You want to earn trust. Now this is the other side for Dany, for the Sansa people, who, you know, this relationship or whatever, this mistrust. She sees Dany out there working. Because she would do it. She did it before. She's walked with them and rode with them and whatever. She's out there in the trenches with her men.
Yeah.
You know, helping throw pitch on things and whatever. That's what she needed to be doing instead of riding dragons around.
And here's the thing. He looked like he was hanging on for dear life, right?
Yes.
Now, why then, Dany? Did you want him to look like an idiot in front of his people as he's swooping around?
Exactly.
You know? That's their king up there screaming his ass off and, you know, looking.
Well, the former king. They're still mad about that, remember?
Exactly.
But the whole main point is you don't try some nonsense like that. And until you find out that you're a Targaryen,
you
don't believe it yourself, really.
Thank you.
You don't believe it yourself. Dany certainly doesn't believe it, but then that proves it.
And that's now, the big reveal.
I know, just in case some people will mention, well, you don't have to be a Targaryen to ride a dragon. Nettles, I get that. That's a book thing. We're just not going there right now. For the most part, though, you have to have Targaryen blood for the most part. It's still questionable whether Nettles was dragon seed or whatever, but that was the whole thing, where a book thing where she fed a dragon enough sheep where it trusted her.
It would have been a good point. You know how you said it would have been a good time for Arya to come up and say, have that conversation?
Yes.
This would have been a good point for Dany to say, as soon as we get armor and saddles for these things, you're riding one.
Yes, exactly, because that was the other thing. Is it too much to ask for some armor and saddles?
Right.
Because you already learned the hard way from Bronn, and if you go with the Viserion thing,
yes,
there's two shots to two different dragons right there. Have armor on the damn dragons. I mean, God, you have so much. Like I said, they're traveling. They always have people you never see setting up tents and candles and rugs.
Yes.
And food and whatever. You can have dragon armor and saddles instead of hanging on to spikes. I mean, come on.
So easy.
But the point being there that, you know, you have Dany out there working with people.
Yep.
Gaining that trust. People see that.
Oh, yeah. That's a big deal.
She's winning them over. Arya sees that, has a conversation, starts a relationship that way.
Yep.
And then that carries on to other things. And the important part there was that will later prove in the next episode, or maybe episode 3, that Jon is a Targaryen because Rhaegal accepts him so willingly. Then they can think back to, well, shit, no wonder he let you pet him and all this kind of stuff. And then you just got on one. So, I mean, it's true. So it's they did it backwards. It was just dumb.
It was so weird.
They did it backwards for a love scene in a cave. Like you said, for the kiss and he's looking back scared. And I told you I saw the meme where you had Khal Drogo and it was actually Aquaman coming out of the water looking.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So that's all it was for. It was for memes.
That's so right.
Do it for the meme, I guess. We had the Hound Arya reunion.
Yes.
I thought it was fine.
I did too.
That's how they are. You know, it's been a while.
He got off, you know, he said what he wanted to say.
He did. He said it in his way. That's his, the way he shows love. And later on, of course, they did have a good scene in King's Landing.
And her saying, he said, what did he say? You left me for dead?
Yeah, you left me there to die. I robbed you first.
So that, I like that interaction right there.
Yeah, so that was fine. I have no problem with the Arya Hound scene. You have the Sansa and Jon argument right after that. You know,
No. As soon as the Hound walks out, her and Gendry kind of.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. That was fine, too. Make this weapon, and it's a little flirty. And we were even saying, I remember the first time, because we had all predicted, like, or not predicted, but, like, wanted that to happen. Like, yeah, I don't know if it'll happen, but I think it'd be cool if Arya and Gendry hooked up.
I know.
And then nobody thought it would happen. And all of a sudden, like, oh, shit, that's flirty.
Yeah, he like,
that's
you look
real
good.
Yeah, you look good, too. What the hell just happened? I remember.
Right.
Distinctly talking about that on the live stream after. Holy shit, they're flirting.
They were, man.
They're going to fucking smash, you know.
And little did we know.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy shit.
So that's fine.
Now, I'm fine with that. The only thing was, I just didn't That was much ado about nothing, that weapon.
Yeah. I just don't think she realized what she was going up against. I mean, it was cool when she used it, but right. It just don't last long.
No.
You just can't use it. Not even a sword.
I mean,
so I guess it makes sense to have a double staff, a double bladed lightsaber there.
Yeah, that's all it was.
As long as you're swinging, at least you're hitting someone. Yeah. All it takes is a scratch with Dragon Glass for the whites.
Right.
We'll get into that later.
Right.
Because it's not going to fuck with White Walkers.
Oh, jeez.
We'll get into that later. That's what we're saying. This is going to be minor things, but this is going to really start changing after episode two for the most part. And then it's going to be all different, the whole damn thing. Then we get to the Sansa.
She could have at least brought him a glass of water. You're down here sweating your ass off.
Exactly. Here,
good to
here,
see you again. Would you make this for me?
Yeah, exactly. Pull out your damn doe skin water pouch and, you know, I don't know. But they just said something about cold. And then there was the joking about my lady, and that goes back to season four. So, see, that was done well. That was
a
callback.
I agree.
That's what they need to use to connect everything.
That was cool.
Where they didn't do it in other places. So it's like somebody's thought about the callbacks, but then they're just like scrapping others. I don't know. It's really odd.
Yeah, wouldn't you like to talk to the people who are behind the scenes trying to get them to put those callbacks in?
Yeah, like, well, I can't believe they're removing that. Jesus. And
then, yeah, why did they get rid of that? I worked so hard on finding all these callbacks.
I wish those interviews would start coming out now. I know the actors have said stuff, and Charles Dance said he was confused, and I know Danny didn't like it and stuff, but I wish they would get some. I'd really like to see some of the other people that worked there and to find out what happened. Okay, so I mentioned the John and Sansa argument.
Yes.
This was the thing, and that was fine as far as the argument itself, because he kind of said what he needed to say, but the whole theme here had always been from last season when he met Danny, John did at Dragonstone. She is not her father. So at least he said that.
Right.
So I don't have a problem with the scene.
Nope.
He kind of said what he needed to say. And now, did she take it to heart? Not really. She kind of had a conversation. We'll get to that when we get to it. But the point is, you know, that was an underlying theme. She's not her father. So I totally get that they wanted you to, you know, kind of question, you know, is she, you know, her father? But she clearly showed over and over that she's not. And then if she goes out in the field, like we just said, and she's out there working in the field with Arya, and she's learning from her, starting a relationship. That's really changing minds quick. And they ain't got time.
That's right, but you're right. That would change them quick.
Yes.
She is not what she appears to be.
Exactly.
John's right about her.
Absolutely. And they say they trust him.
Yep.
You know, they say they trust him. And the whole thing was, you know, don't judge me by the sins of my father. Same with John. It goes with him, too. You know,
dude,
people think Rhaegar sinned or whatever. So, yeah, just, you know, go if you're using the theme, then follow through on the theme. But, of course, we'll get to that. All right, so I think next we both have the Danny-Sam conversation. So the conversation itself was fine. You know, it's awkward, obviously, for both of them. But that sets up him being a little pissed off at Danny, obviously. Because he goes down. Bran's just waiting. And for some reason, in the regular show, in the real version,
right,
it's just the right time. And the reason it's the right time is because John just happens to be in the crypts, I guess.
Yes.
So we'll go with that. He goes down there, and in this version, you know, he basically goes through the same process or whatever. He tells John about the truth. John just doesn't believe it. I mean, it's a lot. And he did a good job, I think, portraying it. I was sitting there saying, you know, maybe he should kind of take a step, stagger a little bit. He's almost like wanting to faint or something, but maybe sits down on the edge of a statue.
Yes.
Something.
Yeah.
But the point is here in my version, and I think you'll agree, is that he don't believe it. He's like, you're out of your mind. He starts to walk out. He walks up to the stairs of the crypts, and there's a man standing there, and his name.
With Bran, right?
With Bran.
Yep.
At the entrance.
Right,
where, like,
right
he had,
there,
you
yep.
know, walked over at the entrance. And he says something to the effect of, he's right, boy, or something, line that fits, you know, and it's Howland Reed.
And this is how, right, you get Howland in the story, in the show, like he should be.
Absolutely. And it's also the reason Bran knew it was time.
Exactly.
So because it gives him a little more purpose already.
Lined up here to really confirm this with John. And for John to not just you know, John just reunited with Bran and sees Bran's weird now.
Yes. And he got the emo vibe.
And Sam seems emotional and distraught about his dad and everything.
Right.
You got this older person that he respects.
Wise.
Yeah, wise.
All the things that he should represent at this point. Similar to Ned.
Yeah.
So he sees almost his father in him, or his uncle.
Yeah, and you put that all together, and it works really good for this.
It does, for that scene, and it gives Bran a already you can see he's got a purpose.
And then, because John buys into it fully. Because it justifies everything.
He knew it was exactly the right time to tell John because of Hal and Reed. Not just because.
Right.
But because of Hal and Reed. Then, you know, we don't have to see that conversation right there, but it puts him in the story. It gives Bran a purpose in that moment, and it can lead to more, which it will. In our version.
Yes.
And then John gets confirmation, absolute confirmation. And then they can ride dragons later. We'll talk about that when we get to it. But Hal and Reed is there in Winterfell. He finally shows up. He's been missing out the last couple of times with Rob and all that stuff. We know he's alive. We know he's been to the God's Eye. We'll get to all that kind of stuff. So he is there.
Exactly.
And it's something that matters, and he can confirm things.
Yep.
So that was basically what we had for that, I believe.
Did you have any problems with prior to that, in the crypts, Sam and John?
No, I think that was fine, because he was distraught, like he should have been, you know. So it wasn't like if he would just walk down there and found him, they'd have had hugs and all this kind of stuff, and more been more pleasant and funny.
Yeah.
Whereas this time, you know, he's mad at Danny, so he wants to tell him. That gives him the motivation to say, you know what, you're the fucking king. Would you have done that shit?
Yeah.
Because she killed my mom, you know, my mom.
I did like that.
Yeah, she killed my dad, my father, my brother. Would you have done the same? And he says, well, I've killed men for not obeying orders, but you've also, you know, shown them mercy. But so has she.
Because I really thought that was good writing. Just like you're saying, he says that you've done that. You know, well, he says, well, I've done that before, you know,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, after he tells him who his father is and who his mother is, for that matter,
right.
All in one breath.
Exactly.
Then he says, what did he say? You've given up your crown.
Yeah, you've given up your crown. Would she do the same?
Will she do the same?
Already
so
placing.
It almost, mirrors. You've done this, she's done this.
Exactly, and it's already setting the idea up of them undercutting Danny, and this is treason, she's the queen.
Yeah.
You know, no, it's not treason, you're the rightful heir, you gave up your crown, but would she, you know, so it's already setting up that, oh, shit.
Right.
Which is fine. It's fine for the way it works, because you want to tease it.
Yeah, you do.
You want to tease, you want that tension there, for sure. Yeah. I mean, that was the whole idea.
So then, he comes out, bam, he's faced immediately, because he just got all this dumped on him. He comes out, and then there's Hal and Reed and Bran, and you know, Sam's still with him, obviously. So you get to see, you don't need, like you said, you need to see the whole.
No, they can talk. They can do that later.
Right.
They can do the whole conversation later to finish up this episode. Yeah.
Hal and having that one line in there would be really good.
He's standing there, and you could either just have him, because you would immediately, fans would recognize his sigil.
Yep.
Or you can say, and who are you? Like John says, and who are you?
Yeah.
Hal and Reed.
Yes.
Or maybe he, you know, recognized him because he has seen him, but I don't think so.
Because remember in the crypts, John's like, my father was honorable and all this stuff.
Yes.
And then Hal would really bring that all back to perspective for John.
Exactly. Well, he hadn't told you everything.
Yeah.
You know, type of stuff. So they can have the major conversation off screen.
Yep.
Whatever, but he's there in the story. Gives Bran, you know, all that stuff. So it really, really works there, I think. Then we go to the last hearth. We have Tormund, Beric and Ed, and the three people in the Night's Watch left. You know, apparently a few more popped up over the years. So they're up there in the last hearth. You mentioned, you know, as far as the visual, I mean, everything looks good in Game of Thrones, but was it just the army that went through? I mean, I get that the snow's back.
I get
but
that.
But you were saying the building should have been decimated. And I agree. It should have been decimated.
With that army and, you know, they got the giants. And it's
right. So they showed, like, you know, 10 or 15 dead people. And then they find, of course, Ned Umber. And he is pinned to the wall with the symbol. But in our world, the symbol will mean something. So they take note of it, you know.
Exactly.
And Tormund may already recognize it from being a wildling, having experience up there. Ed would recognize the symbol because he was standing on a giant one at the Feast of the First Men.
Yes.
And they will mention that damn symbol again, because even Lord Commander Mormont said, always the artist, talking about the White Walkers. And then it sets up later for when they get to Winterfell. The issue here is them beating the Night King to Winterfell, because they're behind them at this point.
Yeah.
And they're in a straight shot, so they have to ride hard and fast and around a really wide arc.
Yep.
Of course, you know, in our world, there's no dragon, so they can do that. But
exactly.
There's no Night King dragons, what I'm saying. There's no Viserion. And so, yeah, they're going to take this information and use it. So the scene itself is fine.
Yep.
As far as the scene, but it's going to be used.
Yes.
The information we got from the scene.
Exactly.
That's all I mean. I think we're at the end here. Jamie?
That's it.
So I think for the Jamie thing, I think it's fine. I mean, he shows up, it's tension, he looks over, oh shit, this is the kid I threw out the window.
Peeping Brand's right there. But
this Brand, now you feel even better.
I feel just better about him being there, because
exactly,
he knows everything.
Because he already has a purpose. You're already seeing he's got more purpose, and he's going to do more from the little Hal and Reed thing.
He's kind of a puppet master to a degree. He's really what you expect Brand to be.
Exactly. And I want to say really quick before we're done, is just as far as on the Night King thing, or the symbol thing.
Let me rephrase that.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I said it different when you and I were talking. Not a puppet master in the fact that he makes people do things.
Yeah, yeah.
He's more, I said, a symphony
you
conductor.
You said an orchestra.
Yeah, he's a conductor.
Conductor.
People bring their own talents and things to the... He just kind of makes sure things are going just the way they need to.
Exactly. Bran's going to be more active in our season,
yes,
is what we're saying.
Yeah.
And just to add on to that, like I was saying, is the idea with the symbols is when they come back, you know, that gets brought up because they have seen him before. But they start saying, with Hal and Reed.
Wow. That adds.
We'll everything. Get to this in episode 2 as far as the details, but just to give you a little preview.
Yes.
Hal and Reed, you know, they show up at Winterfell. They do beat the Night King and then back, whatever.
Yep.
Which is fine. You can make that work. It's not a deal breaker. They meet up and say, okay, what happened? You know, well, the Umbers were dead. We saw Ned, you know, back in the center of one of these damn symbols he left on the wall.
Yes.
And Hal and Reed says, what symbol? And he says, we've seen this several times. They always paint these, you know, damn things. John comes in, you know, we saw these wall, you know, cave paintings on the wall and all this stuff and whatever. It's typically a spiral thing, looks like this, and somebody sketches it out or puts rocks out, whatever. And he goes, I know what that means. And it cuts off.
How cool.
So that is the ending scene, I think. Or you could still use the Jamie thing, but that's the idea. We'll have that in episode 2, I think,
yep,
as far as that conversation.
It's very cool.
But the symbol will mean something, and then the Jamie scene is fine. So it can cut off that way. That's fine.
Yeah. Just like, I mean, the symbol meant to us when we saw it.
We knew. We just thought, oh, shit, here it is again. They're going to find out what that means.
Yeah.
Because we saw it.
And it just didn't get used.
In the prologue, you saw it in in the Feast of the First Men. You saw it in the caves and different symbols in there. They were literally staring at a giant version of what we thought was the God's Eye. And so that's going to mean something. And, you know, you're not just going to put it in there and not use it
in this
little version.
Exactly. So,
anyway, that's what we have for Game of Thrones Season 8, Episode 1, Winterfell.
Yeah.
So
I hope you guys enjoyed hearing all that stuff. It was fun for us to, you know, talk about it again. I mean, before we even came on camera, it was really neat to watch the episode together. And
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's brought back good memories and horrible, you know, that taste in my mouth again, you know, that horrible taste about actually how it actually ended.
Right.
You know, so yeah, be sure to let us know on YouTube. Leave us a comment there. Again, this podcast is available everywhere: SoundCloud, Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, and Podbean, and as well as YouTube. But leave us comments there. Let us know if you like this type of thing, because this is an unedited podcast. And so this is what we're planning on doing. We'll go through 5 more of these. It may not be in order exactly. We could stagger some other stuff. We have some other stuff we want to talk about too. But if you like it, give us a like and a comment and let us know where you like. Do you like this type of thing?
Yeah.
Do you like where it's heading already? I mean, there's not been a lot of changes in the first one, but just by replacing a few lines and a few characters maybe moved around, it's going to start snowballing.
It will. And then, you know, I was thinking too, we can't recreate the whole Winterfell getting decimated
No.
So there could be a way for season, I mean, was it episode 3?
Yes.
You know, that could be where we start getting really creative. And so where you know episode 3 is mainly Winterfell getting destroyed.
Yes.
Our episode 3 could be all different. So just stay tuned.
That's what I was going to say. Because once we get past episode 2 where some other things, conversations take place, it's going to be really different.
Right.
I mean, it's already going in my head. Like, it's going to be completely different as far as three through six, two and a half, two and a half through six.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Going to be really cool. Yeah.
So, yeah, let us know if you enjoy this, if you want to see this, if you don't care anymore. I get that too. Let us know some way, shape, or form. And, I've enjoyed it so far. We'll see. We'll see what they say.
Yeah. I've enjoyed it too. And then, you know, we didn't really go into graphic detail about Bronn's sex scene, how aggressive that girl was.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you know. I know. She's just like, boom. That was funny.
So I got to give them credit on some funny things they threw in there, you know.
Yeah. There's no doubt that some of those things work really good as far as some of the humor, because it was always there, you know.
It was. That's right.
And the character, when he about spits out his drink, I mean... That's fucking hilarious. She says, to bet the pox is going to take within a year. Which girl?
Which one?
Exactly.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, there was some great things, but, I mean, you know, we're going to get to the juicy stuff and change it up a lot.
Right.
But you got to kind of, you know, like I said, it was a setup episode. It was fine for the most part. You just change a few things. That's all you got to do, and it starts leading to bigger and better things.
And also, I would recommend if you – kind of get back, if you listen to this and you are interested in Game of Thrones, go back and listen to that episode 4 when we were optimistic about
our episode 4 podcast is titled, what was it, the title, I can't remember now,
can't
but
either.
It was like we were basically talking about the end is near,
yeah,
and what we're gonna do after, and we were nervous about how it's gonna happen, how the season was going down, and you know, even talking about, you know, after this, there's just no more seasons to look forward to. There's no more predictions. You know, we were so... Yeah.
Like, there's no way they're going to ruin certain characters and
no way.
Shit like that.
That'll be stupid. That'll be career suicide.
That'll be career suicide. I think we did say that.
And
yeah.
So they've committed career suicide.
That's crazy.
What happened. So anyway, yes, hopefully you guys enjoy this. Let us know what you think in the comments below. Thanks for watching, and we'll let it
be the blur.
Yeah, just blew your eardrums out.
Was that as good as the Kingslayer?